chapter 8, verses 34 through 40. And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns he came to, as he came to Caesarea. You may be seated.
Before I begin my lesson on baptism, let me say, next week we'll be beginning new classes, and we still needing some teachers for our children's classes. I also wanted to make mention about a change in the adult schedule. We'll be having, go back to having three, I guess you could say four classes for adults on Sunday morning. We'll have our college and young professionals class, which meets in the far corner over here. And I think they had like 13 or 14 in there this morning. And so we want to encourage those who didn't go away to college, who are attending college here, or those who have come back and are currently working or stayed here and are working, to attend that class and be involved in that group. And then we want to have a natural progression in classes for people to be able to be involved with their age group. The next class will be the young adult class, which will be meeting in the former ladies' classroom in the corner right across from the kitchen. And we're going to be studying about parenting and those issues. And I'll be teaching that class and discussing that. And we don't want to have any hard, fast age ranges, but basically those who are in their late 20s through 40s, those who have children in their home, is kind of the idea, or those who are in that age range, maybe never had children or never were married. And then we want to begin again a class that used to be a highly loved class, and then we end up combining it with the class in the back. And we'd like to revive this class and build it back up. And it's a class for those who their children have left home. We don't necessarily want to just identified as the empty nesters, but those who are in what we might say the 50 and above category. And once again, you kind of figure out which group you better fit with. And then there is the auditorium class, which is, of course, always well taught by Don and Bridges, which all people are certainly involved in that classes in all age ranges. And so Ronnie Dunn is going to be teaching what I call the seasoned adult class next week. That means they got a little soft on them, I don't know. But that's going to be in the Anderson Room. And so let me encourage you to be involved in Bible class. Make sure your kids are here in Bible class. And get connected. You know, it's important to have various social groups in the church, people that you're connected with. And Sunday school classes provide that opportunity. So let me encourage you to be involved in our Bible classes next week. We're going to be thinking about the topic of baptism this morning in our 1 week study. Our week word of the week is baptism. We just finished talking about repentance and confession and faith, those important terms related to our salvation. And this week we want to talk about baptism and read devotionals about that. I want to think slowly with you this morning and not be a real fast and jump to a lot of different scriptures on baptism. We're going to look at numerous ones, but I want you to think with me about what the Bible says about baptism. I believe that it's an often debated topic, but I really believe when we look at Scripture slowly and simply, we understand the simplicity of this topic. And I want you first to understand that baptism is connected directly with Jesus. We don't talk about, as we just sung the song, what will wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We don't say nothing but the baptistry water. We don't say nothing but the water in the river. Nothing but the water in the ocean. No, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. We understand that baptism is connected directly with Jesus, and that's what makes it important. So I want to notice four ways that baptism is directly connected with Jesus, which makes it a necessity and essential part of our faith. I want to begin first by noticing that baptism is connected directly with the blood of Jesus. I want to ask some questions as we go forward. What washes away our sins? To make it simple and to make it understandable, what washes away our sins? Well, let's turn to Revelation 1 verse 5. And we read what we just sung, that the blood of Jesus washes away our sins in Revelation 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings on earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. And then in Matthew, when Jesus was in the upper room and He was instituting the Lord's Supper, in verse number 28, He says to His apostles, "For this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins." What can wash away our sins? Only the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus. Well, then we ask another question. When are our sins washed away? When are our sins washed away? Well, I want you to notice that it is connected once again with our baptism. Look to Acts chapter 22. Ananias is speaking to the apostle, soon to be Apostle Paul. Now he's Saul, who had met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he has spent 3 days in prayer and in fasting. And Ananias goes to him, and after their dialogue and their meeting, he says to him in verse 16, "Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." Notice that Ananias says to Saul, "Arise and be baptized." Why do you need to be baptized, Saul? To wash away your sins. Notice that baptism is important because it is connected with the blood of Jesus. It's not the water in the baptistry that washes away our sins. It's not the preacher who helps, or the person, the whatever other man that helps in putting someone below the water. It's not any miraculous words that are said over that baptism act. It's not the witnesses who witness that act. But it is the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, very similarly to what we read in Matthew 26, verse 28, where Jesus says, "This is the blood of My new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." Notice in verse 38 that Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." So baptism is when we contact the blood of Jesus. It's when our sins are remitted, when we achieve the forgiveness of our sins. Baptism is important. It's a necessity because it is connected with Jesus and His blood. It is when we contact the blood of Jesus when our sins are washed away. But notice, we notice as well that baptism is connected with the death of Jesus. With the death of Jesus. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. Paul says in verse 1, What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. Should we just continue to live in sin and let grace cover us? He's talking about those who are Christians. And he says, should you not live a righteous life now? And he says, by no means. And he takes them back to their baptism. And he says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? See, we die at baptism. We'll talk more about this. For do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Notice this question. Can a sinner be saved without Jesus? It's a very simple question, isn't it? Is it possible for a sinner, for someone who wants to be saved without Jesus? And obviously the biblical answer is no. That Christ came for us to pay for our sins. In Acts chapter 4 verse 12, that there is salvation in no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. In John 14:6, Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. We can't be saved except through Jesus. Well, notice verse 3. Verse 3 of Romans 6 says what? We are baptized into Christ Jesus. In fact, we must note that in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, it says you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. You see, we are baptized into Christ. So, if we're salvation is in Jesus, then how do we get into Jesus? Well, verse 3 as well as Galatians 3 is teaching us we have to be baptized into Jesus. But notice, continuing to ask questions here and noticing this, the rest of verse 3, it says, we're baptized into Christ Jesus. Those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Did you read that? Read it slowly. We're baptized into Christ Jesus, and you were baptized into His death. Let me ask you a question. Whose death? Whose death are we baptized into at baptism? We're obviously baptized into, as Paul is speaking, the death of Jesus. Paul's taking us back to the cross. The cross is an essential element of our salvation, isn't it? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It is through the cross that our glory is, that our boasting, that any hope we have is in the cross, in the death of Jesus. Paul says, I want to remind you, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should we just live like it doesn't matter even though we're Christians? And Paul says, certainly not. Do you not remember what took place at your baptism? You were baptized into Christ Jesus. You were baptized into His death. If you want to contact that blood that flowed from Calvary's cross, if you want to connect your life with the death of Jesus, then baptism is necessary. Notice, continue to read, look at verse 4. Notice verse 4. Well, as we think about the next question, I'll mention that. How do you get into Jesus' death? I've already mentioned that. But you get into His death through being baptized into His death. Now let's continue to verse 4. And in Romans 6, verse number 4, let's read what it says. It says, we were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death. Now, Paul says the important biblical word, therefore. Because of your baptism into the death of Jesus, I want to remind you that if that is true, then this is true. Well, what's true, Paul? That is that you were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. Once again, let me emphasize as we think slowly about this passage. Whose death? He had talked earlier about the death of Jesus, and we're baptized into his death, but notice this time, it's our death. Paul says, you were baptized into the death of Jesus, and I want you to know that that has brought about your own death. That you died at baptism. Now, obviously, he's talking about spiritually here, not physically. But he's wanting to remind us that you are no longer your own. That baptism is connected with the death of Jesus. And what baptism means is that you contact the death of Jesus and you die yourself spiritually to God. Now, in case you didn't get that from verse 4, let's continue to read verses 5 and following. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, he's talking about our baptism. We've been united with him in a death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self, our old man, our old sinful self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we should no longer be enslaved to sin. For who has died has been set free from sin. Baptism is not only when you die, but baptism is also when you are resurrected. You died to sin, you were resurrected to a new life. You've been set free from sin. If you don't want to be entrapped, to be enchained, to be enslaved to sin any longer, then you need to understand that you are freed from that sin through the act of Jesus' death, and you contact that death, you bury that old man of sin, and you raise to walk a new life, all at the act of baptism. For if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Now listen to this, verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul is talking about our death. Baptism is important because in baptism we die to sin. It's when we contact the death of Jesus, when we bury our old man of sin, and when we are raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism is connected to Jesus because it is connected with his blood. It is connected with his death. And thirdly, it is connected with salvation. Now, there's several verses we could go to, but I just want to go to one passage. Obviously, some of the ones we've looked at also apply. But go to Mark chapter 16. In the Great Commission account, Jesus is giving the Great Commission. And in Mark's account, he says this in verse 15. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. For whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now notice what Jesus said. He said, whoever, that is, whoever will heed this message and believes. Now obviously he's talking about faith in himself. Because if we do not, John 8:24, if we do not believe that he is he, then we will die in our sins. It's talking about faith in Christ. And is baptized. will be saved. Notice we can understand this simple English statement. For example, whoever comes and is fed will be filled. Now, what do we need to do to be filled? Well, you need to come. You need to be fed. You need to eat. And then you'll be filled. You understand that if you want to be filled, you've got to come and you've got to eat. You've got to be fed so you'll be filled. Whoever calls, sadly this may be going on in Texas now with all the flooding, we need to keep them in our prayers. Whoever calls and is grabbed will be rescued. We understand that if you want to be rescued, if you want to be delivered, you need to let someone know. You've got to call and you've got to be grabbed. You've got to be taken so that you can be rescued. Now, if you want to be rescued, you know what you need to do. It's a very simple statement, isn't it? Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Notice that salvation is paid for by Jesus. And Jesus gives the conditions of pardon to achieve through His grace that salvation. And a part of what Jesus says is we've got to believe and be baptized. Thus in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter could say in verse 21 of that passage, baptism, which corresponds to this, notice what Peter says, now saves you. Now, it's not because baptism in and of itself, in other words, if you don't understand Jesus, if you're not repenting, if you're not believing, it's not just taking a bath. And that's what Peter goes on to say. He says, not the removal of the dirt of the body. In other words, if you're just doing it to please someone else, you're just doing it to get water off, dirt off of you, it's not going to make a difference. But he says, if you're doing it as an appeal to God for a good conscience, if you want your conscience clean, if you want to be freed from sin, if you want to bury that old man of sin, if you want to go from being lost to being saved, then Peter says, I want you to know that baptism now saves you. Not the removal of the dirt of the body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, baptism is connected with Jesus because of the blood of Jesus, because of the death of Jesus, and because of the salvation that Jesus promised. Isn't it sad that so many people want to disconnect baptism from Jesus? When the Bible clearly connects Jesus directly and essentially with Jesus. And finally, notice that baptism is connected with the church of Jesus. What church does baptism add you to? That's an important question, isn't it? What if I'm baptized, then what church am I added to at baptism? Well, let's once again go and look at some scriptures. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, on that day, some 3,000 are going to be baptized. It's the day of Pentecost, the day when the church is being established, and Peter proclaims the gospel. He says in verse 36 that they had crucified the Lord and Christ. He says, when they are cut to their hearts, and they ask, what shall we do? In verse 38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And then notice, verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now, what were they added to? Well, they were added to the church, to the body of Christ. Notice verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. They're devoting themselves to following the teachings of the apostles. Notice they're going to continue to worship and serve in verse 45 and following. In verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. In the King James Version, New King James, it says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So what church does baptism add you to? It doesn't add you to a local congregation only. It doesn't just put you in as a member of a local church. It doesn't add you to a man-made body or institution. It adds you to the church that Jesus came to establish when He was here on this earth, that He died to purchase, Acts 20, verse 28, that He came to build, Matthew 16, verse 18. You see, it adds you to the one body of Christ, Ephesians 4, verse number 4. Now look to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And look at verse 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, just as it is with Christ. Now listen to verse 13. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit. When you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, not man, but God adds you to His church. And God keeps the record of those who are saved and those who are lost. And you become nothing more and nothing less than a Christian. You're a child of God. You've been saved by the blood of Christ. You've been contacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You die that old man of sin. You raise to walk a new life. You go from being lost to being saved. You are connected with the salvation that Jesus offers through His death. And finally, you are added to His church. His church that He came to build and to establish. And the church that we always want to aspire to be like and to be a part of and to practice no newer doctrines than what the New Testament and the apostles would teach. You see, baptism is essential because it connects us with four very important things. The blood of Jesus. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Connects us with salvation. And it connects us, finally, with the church that Jesus came to establish, that His apostles built. In November of 1863, General Lee's army had moved into winter quarters on the south side of the Rapidana River. And the Union Army had moved just to the north side of it, and they were both settled into winter quarters. But a religious revival had been sweeping across the Confederate Army. And pickets on both sides were really within talking distance, just right across the river from one another. But there was a chaplain by the name of Willie Ragland who had been preaching. And there was a young man in the 13th Virginia Company named Goodwin of Company A who wanted to be baptized. It was November, remember? People said, well, the water's cold, I'm sure. And said, but he wanted to be baptized. They said, well, and they were fearful of how they were going to be able to get him to the river because of the Union Army right on the opposite side. But he said, I want to be baptized. So about 50 of the Confederates laid down their arms and they said, "We'll go down to the river and baptize you." And they laid down their arms and they go down to the river, and when they are down there for the baptism, of course the Union Army was seeing them and saw them all coming unarmed, and the pickets began to be a little bit nervous at first, but then saw they were unarmed. And then they heard them begin to sing William Cowper's famous song, "There Is a Fountain." And the Union men began, a small group of them, began also to come down out of their works and join them at the river on the opposite side of the bank. And they sang the hymn as Goodwin was immersed into Christ. And the song went, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." In reading from the report, there was a man who wrote, in telling about this song, that both armies were at peace as they witnessed the death of the old man into the resurrection of the new man through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we teach this morning is not a new teaching. It's the teaching that Peter taught on the day of Pentecost. It's the teaching that the apostles taught in the first century. And it's the teaching that faithful Bible teachers have been teaching for the last 2,000 years. Will you choose to want to do as Goodwin did that cold November day and be immersed into Christ to bury that old man, to rise to walk in newness of life, understanding that it is truly Jesus who makes that salvation possible? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come as together we stand and as we sing.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the end?